Welcome, travelers. I'm Josh.
And I'm Lee Wanika, and this is Tabletop Journeys, where we will be your not-so-humble guides on the quest for RPG adventures.
I had just rolled the check to go ahead and determine basically the sensing his motives and where he's going from.
So the long and short of that was, it really seems like he's conflicted and speaking with two emotions. That of the pained father who's got a crisis, and then that of the sort of angry, driven individual that's got like a target in his sights.
Okay. What I would like to do is, given this conversation that we have just had with the sheriff, I want to think back and cross-reference the conversation that we had with Oliver Booth about what happens to someone when one of these shadow creatures inhabits them, and like how they start acting and what that makes them do. And basically, I've got these two things, right? The conversation I had with Oliver and now the conversation I've just had with the sheriff. I want to see if those two things fit together. My theory is that the sheriff is inhabited with one of these shadow creatures, and that's what's causing the general pall over the town to be. And so I'm trying to go ahead and draw a connection.
Okay, so you don't know the answer to that based on your research that you did in Oliver Booth's library. It just wasn't something that was covered.
Yeah.
That being said, you are trying to figure out a way to test, I think, if the sheriff is inhabited by one of these wandering shadows?
Exactly, right. So is he merely just conflicted because his daughter just got kidnapped and he's conflicted like any human would be? Or is it more like sometimes mommy is talking and sometimes daddy is talking?
Does all of a sudden, if we look at him the wrong way, does his pupils go black? Do we smell the scent of sulfur? Any of those occult-type giveaways?
Yeah, not anything as overt as that, certainly. I think Padre may... Looking at your powers here. No. Given your sort of level of knowledge of the supernatural, the only way you may be able to get more information on that, you're going to need help. And maybe it's Oliver Booth. Maybe it's something as blunt as asking the guy. Or you're going to just need more info.
I would be happy to take this information and go back to Oliver Booth, because here's the thing, is that I feel pretty certain that if I'm right, that these guys would back me, and that means it's showtime. The dance is coming and the music is playing, right? So we're not having that conversation, but I'm going to assume that's what's going to happen. So if what that means, if I feel like right now I have some evidence, but I need some confirmation of what I think is going on, and that means going back to Oliver and be like, Oliver, I think it's the sheriff. Here's what I'm seeing. What do you think? And he says yes or no, and yes means, all right, we're going back in. Can one of your guys basically get his wife out of the, or maybe it's the wife actually too, but you know, Oliver, send some of your lackeys, get the wife out of the house. We're tap dancing with the sheriff and she may not need to be there, kind of thing. That's kind of, you know what, I think that after our conversation with the sheriff, after I've gone through these mental gymnastics to go ahead and see what's going on here, I think that I would tell the sheriff, Sheriff, we've taken up enough of your time. I think that you've been through a lot, and I'm trying to be really obvious to these two that I'm cutting the conversation short, that I'm done conversing with this guy, so that we can go ahead and try to reconvene.
Word or whatever.
Good call, actually. So yeah, I would say I can imagine that going back and retrieving your daughter would be just a paradise for you. So I wish you good luck in your endeavors.
Okay. And to be clear, you didn't go into his house, right?
No, he offered to let us in, but I did not go in.
Okay. Yeah, I was hoping we would go into the house. Like, we should absolutely, and I would nudge you when that offer was made. Because I want to talk with the wife.
You're there on the porch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, Sheriff. That's right. You're going to let us look at the knife. That's right. If we could look at the knife real quick, that'd be helpful. And then we'll get out of your hair. I promise. Like, we've taken enough. We've taken up so much of your time, and I appreciate the offer to look at the knife.
Fine. Come on. Come on in. Come look. He leads you in. Pretty nondescript house. You're in the main center room, and there's a bedroom off to either side. You can see in this room that there's a table. Mrs. Beaumont is there. She's very upset, has been crying a lot today. The back door is visibly damaged in some way, that the latch is torn apart. And he goes over to the table and he picks up a dagger and he brings it over to you and he says, "Here, look, Donnie Pilsen brought this up to me earlier this morning." Mm-hmm. Found it down by the scene of the creek.
Yep. I am going to take the dagger. I'm going to take a handkerchief out of my pocket, and I'm not touching the dagger is my point, right? But I am going to do whatever I can to scrutinize, to make it look like I'm just like looking over every like square centimeter of this dagger to buy time for Cartwright to do what he needs to do. I'm taking way too long. And
oh, okay.
While he's doing that, I'm going to nudge the Padre and say, "Father, perhaps you can offer some words of comfort for the missus."
I have a question about my arcane background, miracles.
Okay.
And my question is, what is that?
Your arcane background miracles?
Yeah.
So what that is, it that gives you the access to the powers you have. That taking that arcane background is what mechanically gives you the access to the powers you have.
Okay, gotcha.
So the arcane background itself doesn't have a specific in-game use. That's just part of the character creation process that grants you that.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So Michael tells me that, and I take his cue and pull out my Bible and say, "Yes, I will speak to the lady of the household. And Michael, would you like to accompany me?"
"Of course, I'm happy to help you pray, Father."
"And we'll put this in the hands of the Lord."
"In his hands?"
"Yes, Michael. In his hands."
Yes, you're scrutinizing the weapon with him. He's showing you like, "Oh, this is obviously made by the tribes." And you guys are approaching Mrs. Beaumont, who is just sat at the table right now. She's very upset, and she is polite. She offers you to sit down. She's trying to be a good hostess, a polite lady of the house.
I will offer her a clean kerchief and,
She takes it gently. She's drying her tears.
Yeah, gentlemanly pat, not trying to be any kind of way with her or whatever. Allow Father to do most of the talking, and then every now and then I'll just ask, "What kind of officer's going to help your husband get your daughter back? And we are here to help in any way we can. We just want to be here for you and your family." Mm. "Did you hear anything tonight your daughter was taken? Sound, words, were there arguments? Did you hear the door being rendered from your home?"
Yes, so she does begin to talk to you a little bit. And she's just like, "I don't know how, she's inconsolable. And she's, I don't know what to do to get my daughter back. Why did this happen to us? I don't see how she disappeared. Just, look at the door smashed open. I didn't even wake up. That's very unlike me. I'm a light sleeper and I didn't hear anything. And it's just, it's all so strange. And I believe in my husband. I think he'll do the right thing. And I wish he wasn't injured. He's been, he was injured just days ago by John Gage, and that put him in a bad mood. And I just want to do everything I can to get my daughter back to
him." As she's talking about that, I just wanted to check on one thing. Seeing how the door has been damaged and removed from the house, I know a thing or two about some B&E. Does it look like this door was kicked in from the outside, kicked out from the inside? Like, just giving it a quick once over. I don't want to look like I'm scrutinizing it, so if there's any negatives to this roll, that's fine. But one would think if you're going to kidnap somebody, you would sneak in and or sneak out. Like, yanking a door seems odd, but I am interested to know whether this was a break-in or a break-out.
Yeah, so, and she's welcoming you to look at the door. She indicated it to you, so it's fine for you to go over and look at it in, as according to her. Give me a notice roll at -2.
And Leonika's going to spend his Benny to re-roll.
Man, we're like the best second rolling team in the planet.
it did not help me much. I've got 0 6. I've got a 0.
I'm going to use my Roman bond to allow him a reroll.
All right.
Third time's the charm.
There we go. There's my explosion. Oh, there's my explosion.
Oh, boy.
Oh, there's my explosion.
What?
Oh. All right, so we got 3 4s and a 1 minus 2. So that's 12 minus 1, or 12, 13 minus 2, 11.
Okay, so that is a success in a raise, almost a success in two raises. It's just one over. Okay, yeah, you're able to tell pretty much right away that the door was, in fact, broken open at the latch somehow, probably with some kind of strong bar or implement that smashed and pried the latch. That seems to be legitimate. That occurred from the outside of the house, from what you can tell.
Okay.
Other than that, in this room, you rolled really well. There's nothing else out of sorts in this room. You do notice, because you are into being a merchant and trading and things like that, when you got a glance at the dagger that Finn is going over with the sheriff, that it was like impeccably brand new. This just from just being a trader of things, like that thing's never even cut a rope or anything like that. And is just in pristine new condition.
Like brand new.
Yeah, freshly crafted, I guess you would say, since it wasn't really mass produced or anything.
Never seen any use. Nothing that a veteran warrior would probably be.
Okay. The only other things in this, aside from the table you're sitting at, there's like a little wood stove. There's a bedroom on either side that you can't, the doors are open, but you can't really see into them. That's it. You're all just standing in this small room together.
Yep. I'm not going to ask to go in anybody's personal bedroom at this point. If the detective asked to go see the room that the woman was taken out of, the girl was taken from, I would definitely follow. In the conversation that we're having, would she have divulged the age of her daughter so I know about how we're looking for? Maybe she had like a locket picture so I know what the girl looks like.
She's 15. She doesn't have a photograph. Actually, she goes into her room and retrieves a photograph of her. She is a young, healthy-looking 15-year-old Mexican-American girl, wears dresses like her mom, seems to be, from the photograph, kept and healthy, from what you can tell.
She had mentioned that her husband was wounded. Was that part of the news report that we got when we got off the train?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I bought the newspaper, yeah.
And the sheriff's arm is in a sling. His right arm is in a sling as he's standing there before you.
I will maintain the consoling, just follow the lead of my compatriots. I've gotten all the information I was hoping to get in this situation.
Okay.
Yeah, I lead her and I take out my rosary beads and lead her in prayer. I genuinely believe that if anything nefarious is going on, I don't believe that she is in on it and she genuinely is worried sick over her kid.
Yep.
There's definitely an innocent involved that's going to be her at this point, and likely the daughter as well.
Yeah.
All right.
So are we leaving? Is that the...
Yeah. When the prayer is finished, I will stand up and say, Madam, I greatly thank you for taking the time to let us sit and pray with you. I will take my leave, and if the detective has his questions answered, we will take leave of your home. Is there anything that, other than helping to retrieve your daughter, which we are most certainly going to try to do, is there anything that we can do to help you in any way?
Just bring my daughter Mariposa back to me. That's all we need.
Of course, ma'am.
We will do what we can.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
We'll leave her at the table, or I will. I'll head over to where Finn is and the sheriff.
If I see you stand up, I'll put the knife down and be like, basically, time for us to leave. Thank you for taking your time and for showing us the knife. And
Sheriff, we're probably going to ride out in the morning and see if we can help sort out where things might be. So maybe you give us a day to get back to you as far as what we can find. The detective's really good at tracking down all sorts of scallywags and ruffians. So I think give us some time to help you figure out where to go.
Interesting. Give me a persuasion roll on that, but it's going to be a negative two on that. That's going to be against the smarts, rather, I think.
Okay.
What you got?
I got a Benny I'm spending.
Yeah, get that penny ready, Sergio.
I'm going to need some help on this one. I only got three.
All right, I'm going to use a Benny.
How many do you have left, Padre?
I only got two left now.
Okay. Yeah. I'm down to two also.
He had six at one point or something.
Yeah, and I'm down to one.
That's what I show, yeah.
Yeah, and so I've got four.
Okay, number to beat is four. Sadly, no. He says, look, if it turns out that's how long it takes to find the camp, then you'll have your time. But as soon as we find out where they're located, we're riding out, and there's nothing we can do about it.
I would expect nothing less.
All right. What's the plan from here, guys? Just as a recap here, you've got two things going on. Yeah. You've got, obviously, this supernatural sort of existential threat that Oliver Booth has summoned you to town to assist with. But you've also got this curious simultaneous problem with the sheriff, his daughter being missing. What, if anything, does that have to do with the other? Yeah. And how does the tribe factor into either of these things? Are they entangled in this? Do they even know about it? Are they the aggressors?
Yeah. So when we get out to the street, just in real hushed tones, try to go ahead and pull these two aside. Just be like, okay, here's the thing. Is that sheriff is fighting two wolves on the inside, and I'm not sure which one is him and which one is not. I think that he might be the reason why this town is having troubles to begin with, and that if we can resolve that situation, then maybe the ritual isn't necessary at all in the first place. I have no idea what this has to do with his daughter, but I think that I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the story that he's telling.
I think you're right, but I think the ritual's going to happen no matter what. So on some level, whether we deal with it, whether he's the issue or not, let's say he is the issue and we deal with him, they're still going to need help protecting themselves because they're still going to do what they're going to do. They're going to open a pathway for very bad things, whether he's still involved or not.
Yeah, but I don't know how to fix that.
You stand in the breach and you stop anything from coming across.
So, my friend, you're going to stand in the gateway to the Shadow Realm that they're going to open and make sure that only the good spirit that they want comes through and not the bad spirits that they don't want to come through. You're gonna do that.
Perhaps I should clarify.
When I put it that way.
I think that if my erstwhile companions are going to choose to be there and do the good thing and help these people, then I'm going to be there with them. I think that if we have dealt with the evil here and there's any kind of conversation to try and convince these good folk to the north not to do their thing, you're going to need me to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think no matter what, we're going to end up having to be there. Now, as far as this goes, I can confirm the door was definitely breached from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
So something outside this house came inside this house. So whatever you think the sheriff may or may not be involved with, unless he left his own home and broke into his own home while his own wife didn't hear what was going on and kidnapped his own daughter, There may be another factor here that we're not seeing. If he is not in control of himself and the beast overcame him, I would expect he would have been seen breaking out of the house, destroying the door on the way out, and that's not what it looks like. And it still doesn't explain why none of them heard it. So something kept them asleep. It's quite likely that they are just, both of them are innocent. Now, that means Cage's people are basically our next viable targets.
We don't have the time to get out there, though.
Exactly.
Unless, is that wagon wheel factory like on the way to where we would be heading up north?
It's not directly on the way. You would have to sidetrack. It's possible if you were great riders, you might be able to do both in a day and get to Shunka's camp Maybe by dark.
We'll be tired. We won't be at full strength.
And so this posse that the sheriff has wrangled up, they're leaving tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning?
They're leaving as soon as they find out where the camp is. It seems from the conversation that the sheriff has had with Detective Finn that he doesn't know where the camp is. It's likely that you guys have better intel on that than he does at this time.
Yeah, but I don't expect that to last.
Can we divert them? Can we feed them bad intel?
Oh.
To buy ourselves some time?
It's a dangerous game.
But it's a game that we don't have to deal with for 2 or 3 days.
Not necessarily. Bear in mind that if what we are thinking is even partially correct, whoever did kidnap the daughter then planted evidence to gin up public fervor to get a posse to go after the people to the north. In other words, at some time tomorrow, whether it's as early as we're riding or shortly thereafter, whoever planted that evidence is going to magically discover the location. We could give bad information, but whoever is planting the evidence will get them turned around before the day's out, almost guaranteed.
But that would at least expose who was responsible for this.
Only if we were hanging around to watch who gave that evidence. That's the challenge. If we're already on the road, we're not going to be here to know who did it.
Perhaps we give them the intel now and see if anyone corrects us.
I think after our exit, we probably can't give them anything until we're leaving in the morning.
No, but Donnie could. What about the stable boy?
It is possible. You recognize that we will be putting ourselves in the sheriff's ire.
I think we're already there.
As a probably possible, but like I said, if that he is legitimately just a cross individual who's trying to go for his daughter, and we are found out to be the ones who are giving him bad intel, nothing we say from that moment forward will ever be counted truthful by him.
All right.
Be very careful about what we do to deceive him, lest that is the last time we will have that chance. Pardon me, Father. I may have, in my ill-spent youth, borrowed a few things from a few collection plates here or there, but I only got caught once before I never did that particular thing again. Largely because Father Flannery did not let me back in for quite some time.
Michael, why does that not surprise me?
I learned lessons. I don't do that anymore. And I have been paying my penance ever since. Whenever I go into a church, I always give $1 for the poll box. And I always give 2 bits to the pastor of parish priest.
All right, then. So what do you suggest? We just leave in the morning like we planned and go try to figure out what's going on with this ritual?
So we ride hard and we make the sidetrack and we see what we can find with Gage at that place, any additional evidence. If we have to, we can certainly leave some kind of letter, notification, some kind of thing once we clear Gage's spot.
Slipping a map in Donnie's boots when he's sleeping or something.
Ooh. Now that wouldn't be tied to us.
Exactly. That's why I'm suggesting using a patsy. We already thought that he was a patsy. He wasn't a patsy, so let's make him one.
Oh, he was a patsy. He's just particularly bad at it.
this poor kid.
Yeah, I like that idea. Let's get us a map. I'll slip it into his purview.
Then we wake up early, pack up breakfast in our satchels, hit the road.
That's the way to go.
Get some bacon, get some sausage, eat it on the road.
Absolutely.
Nothing better than road bacon.
Look, any night I gotta pass a bucket whiskey, I better get road bacon in the moment.
Oh, gross.
That's our new line from now on, by the way.
Bucket whiskey,
bucket
and
whiskey
road bacon.
And road bacon.
Yes. I wear that shirt.
I would wear that gladly.
Put that on the Tabletop Journeys merch site.
Oh, yeah. Done. Yeah.
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 Okay, you want to make a bullshit map, and you want to sneak it over to Donnie at the stables so that in hopes he finds it and says, oh, look, this map says Chief Tashunka is here. And he runs it over to the sheriff, right?
Yep. So it, flashing sign.
Yeah. Easy enough to make the fake map. That doesn't really take anything because you basically can just draw anything as long as it is not the accurate direction. And you're going to do that tonight?
Yeah. Yep.
So give me a stealth roll, Michael, and God, just don't get a critical failure.
Yep. I am going to have a full flask of real whiskey with me because if I fail, I got to talk my way out of it.
Very good.
I'm going to burn my last Benny.
Yep.
And that's going to be not enough.
Hey. Father?
Yeah. I got two to burn. You can have the next to the last one.
All right, here we go. This is for all the flasks.
Maybe use different dice.
Yeah, that didn't help much.
Okay.
I think it's done. So I am not as stealthy as I wanted to be.
So you walk in to give him the note, and he's passed out in like a pile of hay. And as you're trying to get the note like into like his boot or near him where you know he's going to, like in his pocket where you know he's going to find it, you kick over like a metal pail and create,
more bucket whiskey.
Yeah, and it makes just a big loud clattering and like a broom and a shovel fall over and it's like just crazy noise and you just be like, stand still. Oh my God, what's going to happen next? And Donnie he just snores and like kind of startles a little bit and like maybe like half gets up and then he just falls back asleep because he's like just wasted. And but when he does, he pushes the map that you gave him down into a pile of cow shit. And looks like pretty much well sinks it into this shit. You're not really sure if he's going to find it or not, as you have failed the stealthy portion of this. But it is there, and you're just unsure whether he's going to discover it or not when he awakens.
All right. I might pick it up and drape it on some hay and get the chunkier bits off of it. Put it next to him and, like, rinse my hand in the bucket.
Yeah, you're like licking like stuff off of it, and then you're like, okay, I'll just hang it beside this whiskey bucket.
And I'm gonna rinse my hand in the bucket whiskey because I figure it stinks, I bet.
Probably, I'm sure the antiseptic properties are well documented.
All right, so you're not really sure. Like when you go back, you're like, I'm not really sure how that went.
I'm gonna go back, work like a chum.
Exactly how you meant it. Yep. And we're like, what was that sound?
he's a loud sleeper. Don't worry about it.
All right. And so what's the rest of the plan for the night, or are we going through to the next day?
I think basically get all of our provisions lined up tonight.
Yep.
Get ready to go so that basically as soon as we get up, the horses are ready and we can get out of here.
Okay.
Just after we kill the sheriff. Sorry, I meant the...
Catch a couple hours and then be on the road.
Right. Because it's probably close to midnight by this point.
Yeah, it's getting late. Yep. Okay. Everybody take a Benny. Good job figuring that out. And we're going to go straight through. You have a very comfortable sleep in very nice accommodations at the Red Desert Palace. Probably nicer place than you've been in a while. And get a good night's sleep. You're up early as you planned and ready to get on horseback and ride north to where you think Chief Tashunka might be. This is going to be not just riding down a path or a road. This is going to be rough country through the brush, kind of unmarked trail once you get out of town. So it is quite difficult. Everybody's going to need to give me a riding roll, but there's going to be a -2 penalty for this.
Oof, that's not good.
Riding, okay.
Remember, you have a D6 wild die as well.
That's good, because my riding die is only a D4.
You are not alone.
Exploding die on my wild die. Exploding die on my wild die.
I got an exploder on my regular die.
So it's -2. All right.
I am 17 minus 2, so I am 15 on the ride.
Alright, I spent another Benny. I'm back down to 2. That's an exploding die on my regular. Exploding die on my regular, so I'm up to... That's 3, that's 12. 13, so 11 for me.
Okay. And
I got an exploder and then a 2, so that should be on the regular die. That's a 4. You had a -2 penalty, right?
Yeah, so you got a 6, -2 is 4, correct? So everybody at least got a success. 2 of you got success in a raise.
Correct.
I got a success and 2 raises.
And 2 raises. Okay,
yeah,
so...
I got one. One raise.
All right, so let me think about how we make that work to your advantage, because those are good rolls. Okay, so what that means is all of you rode very well for just average to below average riders. You just you were charged up about this problem, and it really got you hyper focused. And since the two of you were riding so well, you were actually able to help break trail and navigate and coach Padre, so he was able to keep up with you as well. And we'll say that instead of it taking the full probably 8 hours of riding out there, you probably arrive towards this rocky outcropping in this hill that you remember from your vision, probably around, let's say you left at 6 in the morning, probably arrive at noon or just before noon on this day. So you made great time. You don't feel particularly tired or anything like that. Good roll, lucky stuff. As you approach, it's obvious that this is the hill you saw in your vision, except it looks a lot nicer now. There's no super scary trees. There's no twisting weird clouds in the sky. It's just a natural Wyoming hillside with trees around it. And there's very obviously a Native American camp at the foot of this hill where you see dozens of tents and other horses and people going about their daily business. They're probably about a tenth or more mile out in front of you as you're riding towards them. And as you approach, you're very obviously spotted right away coming through this low brush on horseback. And you do see that a small contingent of riders is moving towards you quite quickly on horseback from the encampment out towards you. Only a few moments and they're upon you. They stop probably 20 yards from your position. It looks to be about 4 very strong-looking young warrior braves and an older man who is behind them in more of a elder spiritual dress, but he's obviously being shielded and protected by them as they approach. They're not saying anything to you. They're just standing about 20 yards. The braves are just giving you a very stern, kind of tough guy face as they appraise you and look you over.
So I'm very much riding with my hands up, palms out, so that they know that I'm not holding anything.
Okay.
And when we get close enough, I only speak the common tongue. Oliver Booth comes with a message for his friend, Chief Tashanka.
I actually have language native.
That's just the English for you. Actually, for you, probably that's actually Spanish.
Okay.
But you do not speak their language.
As opposed to riding palms up, I will have the reins of the horse and I will have my arms crossed, so it's obviously I'm not having weapons, so the same effect, but I'm not doing it in a supplicatory method. I'm not surrendering, but I am clearly indicating that I don't have weapons and I don't mean harm, but trying to project some kind of strength of character, strength of being without trying to be threatening.
Okay.
Confidence, if you will.
Very good. It's obvious that the braves either don't care what you have to say or don't understand what you said. That being said, the older man behind them begins to speak in accented English, but English that you can understand, and says, "You're in violation of the treaty. We hope you know that. We're within our rights to purge you from these lands. What message is so important that Oliver sends you three into our nation?"
The message is long and a bit more detailed, but to prove that we have definitely spoken with Oliver, he did offer us a tale of one of his last adventures with you, including the time that the two of you rode together and the landowner fell off their horse and sat in a...
This is from the note. Okay. There's a pause. The braves look confused at their chief because they don't know what's going on, what they're supposed to be killing you or not. And Tashanka pauses, and then he laughs a little and he goes, "Huh, yes, yes, that was when we were much younger men than we are today. So, Oliver's a good man. I do respect him, although we don't see everything eye to eye. What is it you're here to tell me?"
Okay, so just a little bit of quick table talk. Which of us has the highest persuasion? I've got a
D6.
I have a D6. I have a D6 as well. Okay. We're all pretty good. I think I would be more annoying overall in this discussion, so I would definitely defer to you. I just want to get the opening out so he at least would take the time to hear us speak. So I will chuckle with the chief as he chuckles and just say, "It's usually pretty fun to see a landowner who thinks they're powerful in a bull paddy."
He chuckles a little, but he gets back to being serious very quickly. Obviously, he's concerned with your presence. He wants an explanation.
I actually get off my horse. I dismount my horse. And I lay it out for them. "We were sent here by Oliver because he fears that the ritual you are about to perform is at a risk of being corrupted by either a force within our realm or a force from another realm. I can tell you this, you and your people are being framed for a crime in Blackwood Gulch. The crime of kidnapping the sheriff's daughter. I share your sentiment. I do not believe you would be responsible. After all, there, as you mentioned when we rode up, there is a treaty in place. Why would you do anything to risk breaking that? Especially at such a fraught time as this. I believe that it could be the Gage gang that is responsible for this. And for whatever reason, they are dead set on making sure that your ritual does not go as planned."
"I don't know this Gage man you speak of, and I don't know why this white man would know about our rituals. Obviously, we didn't steal any children from your town. We don't need any. Look behind me. We have plenty to take care of on our own. If the foolish sheriff thinks he's going to come north and cause trouble, he will violate the treaty and we will massacre them."
"Honorable Chief, my fear is that the ones responsible for the kidnapping are in league with dangers from the other side."
"What do you mean?"
"Oliver showed us a vision of evil lying in wait.
Of shadow.
And sneaking into our realm to gain purchase here. We believe, that whoever's responsible for the kidnapping is trying to get the sheriff and his people to come here and cause this trouble, likely during your ritual, to add chaos, to provide the way for this to go wrong.
Or even forcing your hand into a massacre, as you say. Because both sides will have heavy losses and the land will pay the toll. You try to do the ritual in an area where that has happened, who knows what the effect could be."
He looks concerned. He says something quickly in his own language to his braves, and two of them ride fast back towards the encampment, hooting and hollering as they go. And he says, "Our veil weaving ceremony is very important to us and we must complete it. But this information you bring us is very important to us and the safety of our people. So I thank you for risking your lives coming here to tell it to us. I will consult with my shaman. But our ceremony will take place. We will not be told how to conduct our spiritual affairs. That being said, I will consult with my shaman and see what can be done to protect us. We do not fear the sheriff and his men riding against us. We're superior warriors. And this is our land.
My fear is that one of these shadow things may already be on our side. The attack on the sheriff's place showed a display of strength that may not be of a common man. And if one of them is here, working its evil through men, white or otherwise, that may be something that must be considered. I think the sheriff is, we have a word, patsy, fool in this situation. He's being tricked into thinking it's you. He's being fooled into perhaps even starting a war.
If it is
a war that your people have no choice but to fight, and if that's the case, that's the kind of tragedy that evil needs to grow.
If it is a wandering shadow, as you say, and it already walks among us, it makes sense it would want to let its brothers into the world. That is their way. They are mischievous.
Do you have means to stop these shadows when they're on our side? And can we help?
The only thing we can do is conduct the ritual successfully and with strong magics in place to prevent them from coming through. We're calling our ancestor Tate, who is a great ancient elk ancestor. The wandering shadows would be no match for Tate. We must call him forth to protect us because we too have evil in our lands, much like you're describing. And Tate needs to clean our land of these evil spirits. This is very uncustomary, but you are welcome to stay under our protection. It seems clear you should not return to Blackwood Gulch. You are in danger.
If I may, Chief, the evidence that the sheriff has were footprints that he said showed your footwear and a dagger, a stone dagger with an elk antler handle. Do you know how those items and those footprints could have got there?
Those are items we trade with the white man every season.
That was my assumption as well. If Tate is the elk spirit, would that dagger be of any use to a shadow creature? Against shadow creature?
I have never seen a shadow creature except in visions. But It is my understanding that none of our physical weapons would harm them.
It was worth a shot.
It must be something spiritual in nature.
If I may be so bold as to ask, why perform this ritual now?
Because the fear and tension has crawled across the Black Hills and our people are worried. They're always tense. The animals are acting differently. Our hunting is interrupted. And something must be done to restore the balance. I'm sure you've seen it in your settlements as well. It's not unique to our nation.
Cattle yes. futures are trending down over the last few months.
I'm not bothered by that. I'm not bothered by that white man's game.
Understood, Chief. But as you say, the lands are not in balance.
Understand. Will you join us for the ritual? We can't have you interrupt it, but you can observe.
I would be honored with that offer. Would you allow us to defend your people should the worst come to pass?
He's very proud when he answers on this. He's basically, we do not need help to defend ourselves against you guys. But your offer is honorable, and my respect for Oliver Booth is high, and so you're welcome under our protection. During this time, we will conduct the ritual this evening.
Of course, and no offense. I'm always just trying to be useful, sir.
Yes, you silly Americans don't know any better. So they welcome you. They're like, they just start riding back to camp. When you're definitely getting weird looks, for sure, from like everybody. But it's like being explained, no, don't kill them. They're not going to kill you either. And one thing that's interesting is, since you get that same feeling you got when you walked into Blackwood Gulch yesterday morning off the train, where those creeping fears that you guys have and those insecurities just start coming creeping back up. And it seems like the people here are acting in that same sort of just tense, slightly scared all the time operating mode. Just an uncomfortable place. Children are playing and stuff like that, but it's still off. And they're all busy. Basically, they're carrying firewood to the top of this hill. They're creating three big bonfires that they're working on. and they're going about their other daily requirements and things like that. And you guys are just let off to the side. You can hang out over here till it gets dark, and then we're going to begin our ritual. And as the chief said, it'd be a really good idea if you did not work against us on this.
Yeah, I have no intention of that. Especially with the children going, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. I don't need this. amongst ourselves, I will simply say that I have a sense that on the other side, since it's a dark reflection, a dark pool looking back at our own world, that the shadows are moving around among the people. Like, they're here with us now, but they're just on the other side. That's the sensation we're getting here and in the gulch. And so if there was one of them that may be out back in the gulch, there's probably one of them out over here somewhere.
That does make sense.
Okay.
We're pretty limited. I don't think we can do anything with that information, but we just need to be aware of that possibility.
Yeah.
All right. So are you anything you guys specifically need to do before we just pass the time to the ritual, or any objectives you have here at Tishanka's camp?
I will make sure that my Colt 45 is loaded. I will...
You didn't check that before you left?
I mean, I probably did check it before I left, but I am checking again to go ahead and make sure that it is still loaded. Like, that's...
Good call.
You
know, good call.
You know, and I'm also saying it out loud so that the storyteller knows that I have done this. Let's be honest.
I am not actually doing anything like taking out my weapons in front of these people while within their camp. That unless and until it becomes necessary, I'm not going there. I have it. It's at the ready, but I'm not doing that in front of them.
Too late.
All right.
You can. I'm just not.
I had a question about one of both my weapons, actually. I have unarmed listed as a ranged weapon.
Yeah, so, that's where you tear your arm off and you
right. Oh, okay, that's what I assumed.
Yep. Inspector Sergio.
But then I also have something known as the Good Book. Now, am I literally throwing my Bible at people?
Yeah, the Good Book is literally you throw the book at them.
Hell yeah. There's a pastor I can get behind.
Okay.
That compels you.
You're going to learn today.
Very good.
Jeez. I will, in this trying times, I'll take out the little family photograph and take a look at my sister, who takes the family photograph of my sister and our parents. Lament the fact that she couldn't make it on this trip with me.
She will be missed.
Yeah, I have a sense. And I'll put that picture away, and then what I'll do is I'll just spend some time looking at, just watching the children. I know why I'm here, and I'll watch the children doing their things, and just watch over my companions. And to myself, I'll just be thinking in my head, it's like, whatever's going on, I'm basically haggling with with my higher power. Whatever's going on, I just, when it comes right down to it, all I ask is you let me help my friends. Just let me help my friends and help these kids. I mean, do what you got to do with me, but whatever the bargain needs to be, that's what I'm thinking in my head.
Very good. Take a Benny for that, Michael. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to move to the veil weaving ceremony.
I like it.
Let me just explain a couple of things on how this works mechanically, because we got new Savage Worlds players. We're going to do something that's called a dramatic task to resolve this ceremony. That's what Chief Tishanka and his men are going to have to complete. They're basically going to have 5 rounds, and in that 5 rounds, they're going to need to achieve 8 successes. Those successes are made by Chief Tishanka rolling his faith and getting a 4 or more. So a 4 is a success, an 8 is 2 successes, etc. Okay, so he's got 5 rounds to get 8 of them. That is how he will be able to open the portal and bring Tate into our world to help his people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Question on that. Can I use my common bond with Chief?
He is now your ally. And so yes, you may do. Other thing you can do, which you guys have learned about previously in the session, is support roles. So you can, on any given round, you can tell me what your character will do. And you can do anything you'd like. You can stand there and do nothing. you can do something that you think might support the chief in his efforts, or you can do something entirely different that has to do with a different aspect of what's going on around you. Just let me know what it is and I'll let you know what the role is. The way we track initiative in Savage Worlds is through playing cards, okay? I'm going to deal those out. I'll tell you what yours are. I'm also going to deal an initiative card for the chief this round as well. And then we'll just go in descending order, okay? First, let's just... anybody have any questions about that?
Nope. Makes sense.
Let's just set the scene here as the sun comes down and the fires, the spiritual fires are lit at the top of this clear hilltop. Darkness is surrounding the hilltop. It's engulfing everything except the spiritual bonfires in a blanket of dark shadows. Ashunka and his people begin their chanting with their arms raised to the sky. The fires begin to warp and coil in serpentine columns of light. A swirling aurora of greens, pinks, and blues appear in the air above the chief as he's calling to the spirit realm in search of their great protector, Tate. Although the ritual is beautiful, the shadows at the border of the bonfire light exude an ominous and potent fear. Somewhere in the dark forest around you, low growls and footfalls can be heard. Let's deal some cards. I'm going around the screen like this. Michael Cartwright, you are a six of clubs. Finn, you are a king of diamonds. Padre, ace of hearts. Tashunka is a queen of hearts. Let me tell you one thing about clubs in this game that I forgot to tell you. In Savage Worlds, when you get clubs on an action card during a dramatic task, that means it is a complication. Something has gone wrong. You can still act on your card, but if you act as part of that dramatic task and you fail, you will fail the entirety of the dramatic task. It is catastrophic. Now, you can use a Benny to draw a new card. You can just not act. You can do something that doesn't have to do with the dramatic task. All of those things are fine. But when you have a club and there's a dramatic task at hand and you try to do something to execute that task and fail, that's it. That's like hard stop, okay?
Okay.
The reason I say that is Liwanika has a six of clubs. That's why I was saying that.
I'm going to use that Benny to draw another card.
Okay. I don't like that card.
All right. Nine of spades. Whew. So you're out of the woods on that particular issue. The highest initiative on the table is the ace of hearts, which is Padre.
Yeah.
So, as you can see, there are several, because of the concerns about Beaumont's men that you told them, they positioned several braves around the hilltop, looking into the darkness at the edge of the fire, guarding. You guys are wherever you'd like to be around those three spiritual fires. And Tashunka is in the center and he is chanting. Some of his shamans are there helping him and putting things into the fire and chanting as well. And you did hear this low growl in the darkness that I just mentioned as well. You're unsure what that might be as some dry twigs are beginning to snap and things like that. What would you be doing in this moment? And this is round one, guys. As I mentioned, the chief has five rounds to do this.
I'm keeping an eye out for anyone outside the tribe coming in, either on foot or on horseback.
Okay. Are you going to do any other actions during your turn, including movement or anything like that? Or are you just overwatching out into the darkness?
Yeah, I'm doing that. Just overwatch.
Oh, okay. So then that is not going to be in support of the chief. It's going to be an independent action, and it'll probably be a notice roll. I'm going to give you a notice at -2 because you are staring into darkness.
Into the void.
Yep.
I'm going to use a Benny.
All right. You're down to one, sir. Yeah,
that's an explosion.
Cool.
Okay, that's just... I hate when I get an explosion and then I roll a one on the next roll. That's a 7, so a 5 total. That's a 9, so it's a 7 total.
Okay. Sets of red glowing eyeballs narrow together, low to the ground, are starting to become visible to you, and they're tracking with that growling and those snapping of twigs just a few yards out into the darkness past the firelight. You can see them in various spots. There's probably a handful of them around the hillside as you scan in the darkness.
Okay. I alert Michael and Finn to this.
Absolutely. All right. So that is Padre's action, and the next highest is Finn with a King of Diamonds.
Yeah. I am trying to be very respectful of the ritual, so I don't just want to start shooting away at the red eyes in the underbrush, not knowing what they are. So I would like to... I just really want to spend my turn studying them to try to get any idea about what it is that's looking back at us. Is it supernatural? Is it natural? Is it a fox in the brush? Is it a bear? What is it? Like, that's... I really want to go ahead and scrutinize and make sure that I understand what it is that's approaching us, so...
Okay, give me a notice, but it's going to be a notice at -2. You're just trying to build off what Padre pointed out to you.
Yep.
And try to extrapolate any more information that you can.
Set at -2?
Hmm.
All right.
Yes, sir.
That'll be fine. I've got a success on both die, so a 7 on one and a 4 on the other. And I'm +2, so +2, -2 cancel each other out.
So. Oh, so it's just a straight roll.
Yep. Yep.
Low to the ground, the eyes are maybe 18 to 24 inches off the ground, but the way the branches are snapping, they're heavy. They're, even right. though those eyes are low, it's heavy. And you maybe are picking up just as the breeze comes through the trees, you're maybe picking up like just the scent of like dog.
Okay. Were we given... We were just told we could observe, right? And so we're not... Was that basically the information that we were given from Tashanka?
You can... Sorry. You can observe. You can help. He just said, do not try to stop us doing what is our right to do.
All right. Fair enough then. Nope. Okay. No worries then. So then I will take my peacemaker from its holster and level it for my next round. So I've already taken my action this turn. So.
Okay. Excellent. So that was the king. Next highest is Tashanka. So Tashanka needs to make his faith roll to get some successes. However, he's smart, so he's waiting to see what is unfolding with these newcomers here because he doesn't know whether you guys are going to act to help him or to hurt him. So he is waiting to see what you all are doing. He's seeing what you two are doing, and he's waiting to see what this other Michael, this white man tradesman, is up to before he fully commits to his chanting. So he's going to do what's called going on hold, and he's going to allow Michael to go next.
All right.
Michael is going to take his bowler cap off and put it on the head of one of the children. He's going to lean down and say, your chief is a brave man who seeks to help your people. Knowing the children probably can't understand him, but what he's going to say is he's just going to motion to his heart, and then he's going to point to the chief, and he's going to offer his hands up like this and basically try to gesture to the children to do the same, and that way they can offer their strength and their spiritual help to the chief. And then I will say, because I know the chief can hear and understand me, they're coming, and I'll defend you until I don't breathe anymore. And then after I've made that gesture and offered my aid in that way, I will turn and face the enemy with my brethren, hoping that the children offer their strength to their chief.
Okay. Do you feel like, what skill do you think that most exemplifies that? Do you think that's persuasion?
I do think that's a persuasion check in that case, because I'm really trying to get them to, I'm trying to get the chief to believe me that we're here to help him.
Yep.
And I also recognize, based on everything we have been told, that it's going to be the strength of these people that are going to make this happen. And I know that there's nothing more pure than children who believe. So I'm trying to help them, and I'm standing close to them while facing the danger, because I also want to make sure that I am the last bastion before these things, these evils can touch these children. And I want the chief to know that I will stand here. Whether it's possible for me or not, that's what I'm here for.
All right, so give me your persuasion. And with the success, you're going to add a +1 to Tashanka's roll. With a raise, it'll be a +2, etc.
That's going to be a success.
Okay.
So No raise. Plus. I'm not spending my remaining Benny just yet.
Yep. No problem. Okay. So, yeah. So you're hyping up the children and offering words of support to the chief as he continues to see, okay, you're not a threat, and continues with his chanting. He is going to make his faith roll, which is a D8, plus one with your support. He rolls a 6 on his wild die, so that explodes. So he gets a total of 11, so that is 2 successes on his chant, so it's going quite well. I'm just going to mark that down.
He needs 8 over 5 rounds, right?
Yep. Correct. So he's okay. Ahead of track right now. 2 successes as this goes on. And the colors and the illumination and this aurora above him starts to intensify as he is chanting. It's really stunning. But at the same time, these sets of eyeballs start to get closer to the edge of the light. And you do make out the bodies of 3 very large, very mangy, haggard-looking wolves that have approached from kind of various sides of the campfire here with kind of unearthly red glowing eyes as they're stalking towards everyone in the center of these fires during this ritual.